Okay, so we're into our third podcast on redeemables now. We've covered the questions on the control condition in the first podcast and no consideration other than shares condition in the second podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check out those podcasts first. Let's now talk about the third condition for equity classification of redeemables. Paragraph 23C of Section 3856 states that if there is a contractual agreement, such as a redemption schedule, that requires the enterprise to redeem the shares at the request of the holder at a specified date or time, the shares are a liability. Okay, so we've received a few questions around what if there is a redemption schedule for some of the redeemables, but not all of them. So Armand, if I were to give you a scenario here where, let's say, an enterprise issued 1,000 redeemables in a tax planning arrangement in year one, and then in year two, a redemption schedule is drawn up for 100 of those shares, does that taint the remaining 900 shares for which there is no redemption schedule? Whenever you're ready, Armand.
Okay. That's a great question, Mohammed. If we look at the words closely in paragraph 23, it says, if any of the above conditions are not met for any or all of the shares issued, the issuer shall classify those shares as a financial liability. The reason I point that out is the guidance indicates that only those shares for which there is a redemption schedule should be classified as a liability. So in the scenario you've described, where you have 1,000 redeemables issued and 100 have a redemption schedule, only the 100 shares are a liability and the remaining 900 shares are equity, assuming the other conditions are also met. But let's say you have a similar scenario, but in year one, there's a redemption schedule for 100 shares. And then in year three, there is another redemption schedule for 100 shares, and again in year five. Now you have a pattern of redemptions. Here's where judgment needs to be applied, and one can conclude that the rest of those shares at this point should also be classified as a liability, not just 100 shares each time for which there is a redemption schedule.
That's fantastic, Armand. Now, one more question here. In this scenario, the transaction was done, and then soon after, there is a redemption schedule drawn up for some of the shares. Now, the board included guidance in the standard in paragraph 23D of section 3856 that if redeemables are issued in a series of transactions, those transactions collectively make up a tax planning arrangement. So what should stakeholders be considering when looking at this guidance?
That's an interesting question. The guidance on the series of transactions as one tax planning arrangement is very much an area of judgment where stakeholders have to consider all the facts and circumstances. So let's say you have an estate freeze transaction where in step one, you exchange common shares for redeemables. And in step two, new common shares are subscribed for by either the same individual or someone else. In most cases, those would be contemplated all at once, and you have one tax planning arrangement. Now, let's say the two steps occurred months apart instead of one after another. Does that time lag affect whether you decide that it's one tax planning arrangement or two? You really have to look at all the facts and circumstances for why there is a time lag and make that judgment call. But the time difference alone does not mean that you have two separate tax planning arrangements. Building on the same example, let's say you issued redeemables in step one and the new common shares are subscribed to in step two right after. Now, a year or more later, somebody else comes along and subscribes to new common shares. In this scenario, you likely have separate tax planning arrangements if the new person was not part of the discussions when the first series of transactions was conducted. I hope that helps. This is a tough area and judgment needs to be applied, and you need to look at all the facts and circumstances surrounding the transaction. I hope that helps. This area, though, is very much an area of judgment, and plenty of thought needs to go into all the facts and circumstances surrounding the transaction.
Okay, so one more question now, Armand, before we close off this podcast. Now, a question that we've received is around some of the guidance in paragraph 23A of section 3856 that talks about the option to classify the redeemables as either liability or equity. Now, the question that's come up is that option to be applied on a per share basis, a per class of share basis, or per tax planning arrangement basis, or is it a policy choice? So let's say, for example, if you issue Class B redeemables in a transaction on day one, and you've chosen to classify those shares as a liability. Now, let's say 5 or 10 years down the road, you do another tax planning arrangement where you issue redeemables and again issue Class B shares. Now, on day one, if you classified the first set of Class B redeemables as a liability, are these new Class B redeemables also supposed to be a liability?
Wow. Yeah, so many good questions today. So let's look at the guidance in paragraph 23A. It states the issuer of retractable or mandatorily redeemable shares in a tax planning arrangement may choose to present the shares issued in that arrangement as a financial liability. The use of the word that is deliberate, and it's to be applied on a per transaction basis, not as a policy choice or by class of shares. So in the scenario you described, they would have the choice in each transaction.
Okay, thank you, Armand. Thank you for taking that question. That brings us to the end of our third podcast, and we thank you for your time.